Great. Thanks so much, Josh. All right. It's really exciting to be here with you guys. This is something I've been wanting to share for a long time. There's been a lot up in my head about what it took to scale a national meetup here in Canada. So I'm excited to try and share it. And there's a lot to go through. And I've basically compartmentalized it into 9 steps. So first, a little bit about me. I'm a Canadian. I run People and Platform for Golden Ventures, which is a seed stage fund here in Toronto, but we invest across North America. I took the Alt MBA last year. I was in Alt MBA 12. It was a personal gift to myself, and it's something that it truly is the gift that keeps on giving. I did a master's in human rights, but I'm a tech startup nerd now, so that's an interesting journey. I'm a member of the Pineapple Motel. I attend Burning Man every year. I throw sober morning dance parties here in Toronto called Daybreaker, which are hosted across the states. And I have a dog named Patsy Cline. That's just a little bit about me. So the next part, these are the 9 steps we're going to be talking through. I'm going to try and get through all of them. So bear with me and keep, you know, hold on to some questions and we'll discuss it afterwards. Starting with 1, I guess I'll give you a tiny bit of context leading into this in that I co-founded an organization called Tech Toronto. It started out as a 35-person meetup group. It was just an idea to see if we could get other technologists and people that were passionate about change in technology together, and it scaled into a 700-person monthly event. We launched chapters in Vancouver and in Waterloo, which is very much the Silicon Valley to Toronto. And we have verticals in sales, health, finance, travel, and marketing. I never intended to do this. It was really the perfect storm, bringing the right people, the right topic, the right format, and the right partners together. So starting with your topic, it's really important to ask these 3 questions. What do you want? Why is it needed? And who else is out there? So when I ask what do you want, I really mean define your motive. Are you looking, is this a passion project, or are you trying to define yourself as a thought leader? Are you trying to promote your company? Is this for personal or professional development? Are you trying to find your people and bring them together? And possibly maybe you're trying to make a little bit of money. Why is it needed? Identifying what's missing that people can't find online, at work, at school, or at other events. What will coming together do for your audience? What's the whole purpose of bringing people together in a physical space? And what do they stand to gain from it? The last part is who else is out there. It reminded me of the book in our Alt MBA, Steal Like an Artist, because it's really important to look at some of your competitors, not only locally, but beyond, looking on a local, national, and global scale and saying, who is hosting and gathering people in my immediate city? Who is hosting things that I like and admire in other communities and geographies? And are there any chapter models? Are there any other organizations that are that have chapters and franchises sort of around the world that I could maybe pick up on? So that's a little bit about topic. When the next step I would say, 2, is defining your audience. So asking, who are your people? And then asking, who are their people? And asking, what do they need? So thinking about who are your people, think about your primary audience, age, gender, industry, location, dislikes, likes. And by who are their people, I mean, who do they surround themselves with? So for me in the tech industry, obviously founders would be the first person we would look to, but outside of just founders, there's obviously employees who are passionate about technology working at startups. And beyond that, with your secondary and tertiary audiences, you think, who are the clients, the corporates, the recruiters, the sponsors, the different brands that are trying to align themselves with these types of people? Because they're also going to be coming out to your events. So that's why I say define your audience types. Think about local lists of all of these different events, organizations, et cetera, and really list them out and then source all of their contact info. Who are their people? I say, like, who wants to be like them? who do they work for, who is trying to hire them, who are their clients, and then think about what do they need. This is really important because often we can really focus on the content of our events and not actually think about why people are coming. So a lot of people are coming because they want to promote their idea or sell their product. They want to get hired. They might want to hire some people. They might be looking for a partner, whether it's a co-founder or a partner in business. They might be looking to promote their events that's similar to yours, or a nonprofit that they're working with that they're trying to gain advocacy for. They might be looking to practice their craft. They might be looking to gain a speaking opportunity. They might be looking to meet peers or clients. And then sometimes even people are just looking to meet other, potentially a partner. The number of people that we ended up matching up just by creating the perfect storm at our events was surprising. Number three being timing. This one's really interesting to me. The reason why I say what's quiet is because I think it's really important to pick a day that no one's using. There's no use in competing with other people. And it's also really important to pick a time when people are generally free. If you're hosting an event in the middle of the day, or a meetup in the middle of the day, a lot of people are working. If you're hosting it on a Thursday or Friday night, a lot of people have plans. So it's really important to think about that. We were able to build this successful meetup by picking Monday. I call them Magic Mondays. It's amazing what happens when you give someone an opportunity to invest in themselves on a Monday, because they're feeling really fresh coming off the weekend. They're more likely to commit. But I think it's really important to stick to a day every month, whether it's the first Monday, the last Monday, the first Thursday, the last Sunday. It's just something that's important for people to create a rhythm and a pattern in their schedule. How frequent? I say monthly, bi-monthly. It's really important to decide on your long-term goal, but start with something manageable. Don't overextend yourself. It's really hard to host these events, as I'm sure Josh would attest to. So I always say start with a bi-monthly for the first three events, and that'll give you 6 months to test it out and then really see what your audience needs. And then in terms of deciding how long you want to do it, it does depend on the timing. If you do it on an evening, a weekend, or during the day, thinking about the patterns of your industry or your audience. So what time do they usually finish work? That'll sort of dictate the duration of your programming. And then also assume that people will build their own schedule based on your schedule. And so setting the programming at an accessible hour allows them to be flexible, show up late, or leave early. The thing that we did that was also a magic trick was the networking sandwich. You start with networking and you end with networking, and you put your programming in the middle, which allows people to flow to and from your event. And my key here is don't compete. No one wins. Your competitors or other events hosting that are of a similar topic in your geography are actually your allies. And if you schedule them on the same night, no one wins. Number four is the model. So we've all been to panels. We've all seen keynotes. Like, we're tired of seeing the exact same thing over and over again. And so something truly that made my event so successful is I really thought about what others were doing well and what my audience really needed. So what I suggest is asking what's being done. List all the events on this topic happening, not only in your immediate geography, but research them worldwide. See if you can watch some videos online, or even look at their schedules online, how they lay out the event, and start to sort of And then I would even look outside of that topical focus. So if you're hosting a knitting club, like, don't just look at other knitting clubs. Think about other crafting groups or even other people doing building really successful meetups, and find out what their format looks like. I also recommend attend these meetups, make notes on how they structure it. And then there's, like I said, there's no need to replicate the same model in the same geography. So try and be a little different than what other people are doing. And then ask, what do your audiences want? What are they really looking for in programming, and how can you help them? This is the most important. And what I mean at the bottom when I say your main event isn't the main event, people will focus so much, like as an organizer, you can focus so much on who your speaker is, but you forget that the reason people are coming to your event is not because they necessarily want to hear the speakers. Like I said before, they're looking to get hired. They're looking to hire people. They want to promote their products. They want to meet other people. It's actually, the content is really just the front. It's like the storefront to the community you're trying to build and the connections you're trying to make. When you ask yourself whether you should charge money, I always say yes. It's a commitment fee. It means that people are actually going to attend your event. You can definitely go on the free model, but even the smallest amount of $5 a ticket, $7 a ticket will help people make a commitment to themselves to attend. One thing that's really important there though is do not base your ticket price on your food and beverage. If you decide you want really nice food and drinks and then you end up charging people $25 because you've spent the money on food and drinks, it's not the reason that people are coming. So you'll end up pushing a lot of people away based on the price. I think I've also added a few things here that I wanted to speak to on this slide. One being our secret sauce was something called a community open mic. So we realized that out of the 600 people attending, we were never going to be able to give everybody what they wanted. But if we gave them 10 seconds with the microphone, or 10 seconds on the floor at the beginning of the event to say whatever it is that they wanted to say, whatever they came for, they would get the most out of it. And that's when we went from, 50 attendees to 250 attendees to sold out events every month. And I realized it was because your main event isn't the main event. The people attending are, and giving them the right space to share that is really important. I'll get into partner announcements and a social wall as well almost next. So number five, volunteers are obviously important. We all know that they're the ones who truly run the show and they make the meetup world go round. They're your staff, your supporters, your OG promoters, they do it all. And so when you think about how many, it's important to think about the roles and responsibilities and always aim for one extra, because volunteers are giving their time for free. And for the same reason I said, it's important to charge money for tickets, volunteers have a life and sometimes they have to cancel, so it's important. Consider things like setup, registration and tickets, food and drink, Q&A microphone runners, and even a social media person who could be responding to the conversation. I like to say 2 to 4 is the sweet spot of the number you want to attend, but you can always overextend that. There's always room to get people involved. Where do you find them? Start with your friends and family. Honestly, start there. They will come out. They will help you. And once you start the event, people will ask to get involved. And so keep track of them. You can post it on free job boards and stuff like that. And then the other thing I would say, you can assign roles and responsibilities outside of the actual event. So someone who can handle doing a lot of your marketing and stuff would be really, really helpful. So number six, speakers and features. Where do you find them? Honestly, friends and family first, people that you know that are also passionate about the topic, they'll be the ones that become the trickle effect. I don't think I mentioned that in here in this deck, but every time we would have a speaker, we would ask that speaker to recommend 5 people they think would enjoy speaking at the event. And that's how we built our database. And so that's why I say introductions are king. Cold email is easy, is nice, but you might not be able to reach those people. I always suggest leveraging their favorite channels online. If you identify a speaker you want to get in touch with, sending a wave emoji on Twitter goes so far. You'd never even imagine. I recommend that in life. If there's someone you admire, wave at them on Twitter. You never know, they'll probably wave back. And so the thing to offer your speakers is obviously give them some free tickets for their friends and family, because that's the one thing you can give them outside of giving them money. And always offer your help and support. I'd say Josh was so helpful in helping me get the courage to speak today. So, you know, going back and forth, offering to help them on their deck and sending them any presentations that you might have recorded in the past. And what if they cancel? You can always have a backup plan. I always have more than two speakers for that reason, because if you plan for four and you end up with two, it's not the end of the world. Number seven, partners. This one is so important. There's three types of partners: those that'll help make the event happen, so venue, food, beverage, AV; those that will give financial and logistical support; and then those that will spread the word. So the basics being venue, food, beverage, AV, please never pay for a venue. That's my one request. There are always people that are willing to give you space. And if someone's charging you for a venue, they're probably just trying to make a dollar and they don't see the value of hosting your community in their space. The food and beverage one can be tough. I always say just go really, really cheap at the beginning. But it's important to identify your potential sponsors, but those can come into play longer term. Identifying your partners really means that you're looking at absolutely everyone who might have an interest in this community, and that could be anyone from your competitors to, like I said, those stretch audiences that are might be invested in your community. And these are the type of people that are going to help you promote the event. And so you can get creative with what they want and need and how they want to contribute to the experience. And the same with your competitors or others hosting events. Reach out to them, work alongside them, share speakers, share ideas. It'll only help push you further forward. Number eight, tools and tech. I recommend using, if you're going to charge money, you're going to have to use some kind of ticketing platform. Meetup as a platform allows you to charge money, although they take a certain fee and cut from it. But I recommend posting on multiple places. So you leverage Facebook, leverage Meetup, and you can use an online ticketing platform like Pick-A-Tick or Eventbrite or Eventmovie. Obviously secure all of your social accounts. Don't overthink it, and create a hashtag that allows people to engage with you. If you're going to be promoting the event, I recommend using Canva. It's a free online graphic design tool. It is so much fun. I can't even tell you. I go on there. You can design everything from resumes to Facebook posts to new logos, etc. And it's completely free. So I recommend using it even in your day-to-day. I put YAM here. It's called Yet Another Mail Merge. It's a Google Sheets add-on that allows you to email everyone via your Gmail address. You can plug in name and company, and so it looks like a custom email, but it's from you, and it allows you to push out promotions faster. I say use a Twitter wall, and this is for at your actual event. You can find a lot of services online, but having a screen that projects all of the social content that's being produced, kind of like the chat window in here, which I can't see right now, but it allows people to have that conversation with each other, take pictures, share sound bites, et cetera. And it really does boost the conversation online. And it is one of the magic tricks to increasing awareness about your community. And then I mentioned the ticketing app allows you to collect emails as well. So that means you can sort of like boost your you can create a newsletter and increase your database that much further. Number nine, the last one. So I should say that one of the hardest, what I've realized is a lot of people come to me and say like building a meetup is not easy. One of the hardest things is promoting it and taking the time and setting yourself up for success. So I always say create the templates that you might need to email everyone on a monthly basis. And I imagine Josh could speak to this and that he does this in order to promote the teach and learns. So whether it's your online listings on different event boards within the city, or it's the emails you're sending out to speakers, or the emails you're sending out to your partners, or the email you're sending out to all of your attendees, just create a template, use that every month, maybe change a few words here or there, but it'll become too daunting to try and repeat it every single month. The same with pre-crafted social content and images. sharing these with your network and asking people to spread the word, inputting links for people to go to your Twitter page and retweet it or to Facebook and promote the event will help it go that much further. Post everywhere, find all the weird and wacky job or event boards in your city and just post it there, see what happens. And then what did I mean? 1 month out. So this is a strategy we use. 1 month out from the event, we would send an email to all of those partners, all those people that could possibly be the thought leaders and interesting organizations in our industry. We would send them an email and we'd say, the event's coming up, please promote it. Here's some canned tweets and Facebook posts and a picture. Also, click this link or email me back if you, and we want to give you 3 free tickets for being an amazing thought leader in the industry. In exchange, all I ask is for you to promote it. You would never believe 1 month out, all of a sudden you have 5 to 10 organizations within your community who are already speaking about it, promoting it, pushing it. And that's where those are the voices that people trust are the partners that surround you. And then I say, I'd also do the same thing with your speaker and that speakers. And then maybe 2 weeks out, I would start really doing your own promotional push. And so remember free tickets. And the last thing that I want to add, because I have so many things in my brain, is that you can also ask your partners in that same email if they want to make an announcement at the beginning of the event. Because they're helping to promote it, and some of these people might have like 30,000 person audiences, it's really important to give them as much value add as they need. And so if they want to get up and give a 30 second talk at the beginning of the event to promote something they're up to, absolutely give them the floor. Okay, that is it. I know I've tried to fit a lot into a short amount of time and I went a little bit over, but I hope that was helpful. And yeah, let me know if you have questions.